everything that you do again. And you look wonderful. You look like you're ready for something. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Got your seatbelt on? Yeah. Amen. I'm going to do something. I'm going to get rid of this candy. It might hinder me. No, not in his hand. I can handle it. I can handle this. I'm not going to leave it up either. Put it in my pocket. Praise the Lord. The series today, the stand-up is called stand-up series. Stand-up. Mm-hmm. And today, as we begin this series, we want to call it the designer model. The designer model. Also, I want to give a scripture to those of you who are in the witnessing class this morning. The scripture that says, great love have those who love thy law, and by no means shall anything offend them. 119, Psalm 119, 165. I know we used that out there, and I didn't give that. Pastor Hines brought that to my attention. I just want to make sure that you have that. Because I was saying, why don't you just tape that to your car dashboard and to your refrigerator and under your toilet seat. Places that you most often visit. Even you can put a small version on your toothbrush. Whatever offends you, put that scripture on your toothbrush and constantly quote it so that it gets down in your spirit. We have to be strategic. It's the day of the ignorant believer is over. We're going to be strategic, precise, and intelligent with the word of God. We're going to act like we know who we talk about. Amen. We have to have, in this hour that we live in, a high moral urge. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this day. Thank you, Father, that the gospel will be preached throughout this world, that your word would reach millions of people, that it will change the lives of millions of people. We thank you, Father, for freedom of the airwaves. We thank you, Father, for the possibilities that you have for Greater Grace Ministries to do things above and beyond what we can ever imagine. We thank you, Father, for reaching souls in the north, south, east, and west. We thank you that this word will go forward without hindrance. It will accomplish what you set it off to do. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. In this series, which I aptly chosen to call the stand-up series, is tracing God's pattern and should touch some very key elements in all of our lives. Stand-up is linked intrinsically to the heartstrings to every person in the world. When you make such a statement, it has to be backed up with a thought that jettisons that word into the hearts of others. Because I can say something to you, but you really have to know what I mean when I say it. See, when when you're in a place where you want quiet, you can be rude and say, shut up. But you can be coy and say, be quiet. But you can be even more quiet, and more coy when you say, could you please be quiet, please? People understand that. But if you just be quiet, you're subject to get hit. Somebody going to jab something back at you. They need to understand what you mean. They know what shut up means. Shut up means you don't respect me telling me what to do. As we used to say, you're not my daddy. You're not my mama. You don't tell me what to do. I hear people say, when people say, look, have a nice day. You know what they say? Don't tell me what to do. People need to know what you mean. People in the world need to understand what stand up means. It is a high moral urge. We're living in a world that is, for the most part, going in the wrong direction. Everything that you thought of that may have been morally strong years ago seems to be faltering. Everything is in disarray. And the thing about it is that as we spiral out of control as a nation, nobody's trying to stop the downward spiral. For fear that if they say anything to stop the spiral, they will be castigated for standing up. I'm of the opinion that you can't just stand up, but you have to speak up. We live in a time where there is a total silence coming from the most holy place, where we as the church are not standing up, or we lack the high moral urge to stand up. We see wrong, but we don't try to right the ship. Or we talk about it. See, you can speak up without standing up. I can see a wrong and go home and talk about it. But when you stand up to speak up, you draw attention to yourself. And most of us don't like drawing attention to ourselves. I don't know, is it because of backlash, because of the penalty, the cost of it? But in this time that we live in, we need to be observers of time. We need to be very observant in the atmosphere in which we live, what's going on around us. And we should be seeking God on his availability for us to do something and be able to affect the downward spiral. Yeah. Yeah. When we talk about stand up, it has no restrictions, no bounds, no limits. It can be considered the highest form of rules to live by. Even the definition of stand up has a ring of truth to it. Because to stand up, as defined by the dictionary, it means to have uprightness. I'm standing up for what's right. And see, we don't have enough of that in our time now. And I want to say this to you. God has been calling people to have high moral fortitude before there was a Christian. I want to, you got to pray with me. I want to show you that God didn't decide just to be good to people when he started creating Christians. In fact, when you look in the Bible, you only find Christian three times. Two times in the book of Acts, and one time Peter mentions it, talking about should and how a Christian should suffer. The first time it was used in Acts 11, it was used as a type of joke. It wasn't meant to be something as we see it today, a do-gooder. It was used as a joke. It was reprehensible. They said at Antioch, they were at Antioch first called Christians. But they said it with a slur. They were making fun. Then when Paul had a sit-down session with Agrippa, and Paul preached his testimony, Agrippa said, "You almost persuade me to become a Christian." They linked their lifestyles because they were followers of Christ. and they were making fun. They were in actuality saying, we're making fun of you because you're following a dead man. Through time, we have turned it into something positive. But you must understand that Jesus didn't put a lot of emphasis on that. Jesus put emphasis on follow and believing. There's a difference when you tell somebody you're a Christian, but you tell somebody you're a follower. Because if you are a follower, you leave residue. There are signs that you're going behind somebody else. There's a sign that you put yourself to the side. There's a sign that you got a higher dimension that you're trying to enter into besides your own plan. Christianity sometimes has its own plan, and nobody seems to get a proper grip on it. People have been killed in the name of Christianity. Crusades in the name of Christianity. Oppression in the name of Christianity. Slavery in the name of Christianity. Somebody need to stand up. Because Jesus didn't say to the disciples, come, be Christians like me. He said, follow me. And so I say to you today that it takes a while to become a Christian. Takes a while. Because it is a process of change that has to go in you and through you that you're no longer what you used to be. There is not a trace. Good God. There's not even a scent of who you used to be. Y'all better hear me. When you go to Christ and you follow him, you slowly become more like he is and less like who you are. You don't smell you. They smell Christ. They don't see you. They see Christ. You leave residue where you go. And then after you follow Christ, there is a still more transformation that goes on before you become a Christian. You have to become a believer. You follow? Now I believe it. I watched everything he did. Now I believe him. Christian is a way off. And so with this stand-up series, I want you to understand that God had universal principles and laws already in motion before he called you to be a Christian, which he didn't do. Oh, I'm not a heretic. God didn't call you to be a Christian. He called you to be a disciple. And after being a disciple, you become Christ-like. But even in discipling, you have to submit yourself. And it's something when you submit yourself to somebody else. Amen. That's what makes it so difficult for people of the highly intelligent, highly intellectual realm to understand that you have to submit to somebody higher than you. But God, knowing that man is self-centered, he already knows. Man is selfish. Man is self-centered. He still spreads out his blanket of salvation to whomsoever. He calls everybody. And we need to know that as human beings, we are not what the scriptures say we should be. Okay? I want you to go to Psalm 139. Man, according to the principles I'm about to elaborate upon, was made by design. Every being is a designer model. But we, though we're different, we are all created to fit the pattern. We're different, but we're all created to fit the pattern. When I say different, we have different backgrounds. We come from different cultures, different skin, different eyes, different hair. Different, but created for one pattern. Psalm 139. Let's look in verse 14. I will give thanks to thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from thee when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Thine eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in thy book they were all written, the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. Listen to what he says. In the book, they were all written. The days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. The days were ordained before there was a day. God accounted you days before days existed. Oh. And let me say this to you. He is saying this for his entire creation. He's not singling people out. He's not pointing people out. And he's not saying, oh, this is for the black, and this is for the white, and this is for the Oriental, this is for the Hispanic. He's not saying that. He's saying that this is a plan for mankind. The problem with mankind is that they don't understand so much that they are fearfully and wonderfully made. Intricate. Special. Everything about you is different from somebody else. In this verse and in this scripture, you see the power and the skill of God. By divine design. You can't beat that. All future characteristics are formed and programmed. By divine design, all future characteristics are programmed. What am I saying? Before you even got here, God knew what color your eyes was going to be. Color of hair, skin, eyes, facial features, talents, skills, abilities. Listen, they're all found in a little liquid, like germ-like cell that you could fit on the head of a straight pin. All your features on the head of a straight pin. Everything about you. God design, this divine design. And from this straight pin, guess what he forms? A human body that has 60 trillion cells, 100,000 miles of nerve fiber, 60,000 miles of vessels carrying blood around your body, blood being carried, 250 bones, not to mention joints, ligaments, and muscles. You mean to tell me he put all that on the head? Oh, he's skillful. He is powerful and he is skillful. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are made by design to fit the master's plan. His purpose tells us that he made us to walk upright. Now, he put all that information in you, but his design and plan was that you walk upright. Good God. Upright. Upright. See, you got to understand that another word for upright is righteousness. He created us to be righteous Everybody. Not just those who are calling themselves Christians now. That wasn't God's original plan. You have to go back to the original. You always have to go back to the original. And God's original plan that men be created to walk upright. He has a plan. Ecclesiastes. Go to Ecclesiastes 7:29. Now you got to understand who's saying this. This is Simon, Solomon. Solomon is a wise man. He's a wise seeker. But guess what? He's a wise seeker of self-gratification. I know y'all think Solomon is the greatest thing since Swiss cheese, but he was a master of gratifying himself. He loved everything that he could put on himself, have around himself. He didn't have to want for anything. And after having all of that self-gratification, know what he said? Vanity. All useless. All vanity. Ecclesiastes 7. Now listen to him. In verse 29, what did you find, Solomon? Behold, I have found only this, that God made men upright, but they have sought out many desires. Man was already created upright. Created standing up. Created right. But his desires took him away. And let me say this to you. When man started to walk away from God, he began to take on what they call animal nature. See, when you don't stand up, you have to get down on all fours. When you depart from God, you lose your uprightness. And you go down in an animal position. And instead of living from above, you live from beneath. And you take on the characteristics of animal behavior. You do what animals do. You don't do what the upright should be doing. You leave your place of uprightness. Oh, God. And so the whole world has fallen under this spell of being attracted away from God. Satan attracted Adam and Eve away from God. And when he attracted them, as they followed him, they lost their uprightness. They started seeking that which was below as opposed to that which was always above. And because of this, it infected the entire human race. That living below got into Adam and Eve and became of their part of their nature. So when they would produce children, those children would have a fallen nature. Every child that they produced and every child that came through their loins became a child that had to crawl on all fours. The world doesn't understand it because it hasn't been explained to them. So, we see now God's original plan was that man was created to walk upright. Mm-hmm. Listen, Solomon made that statement. We must realize that apart from God, there is no uprightness. But God has given us a map. See, that's the key. God has divine design, but he's so good and so loving, he gave us the master plan. How to get back. That's what the Bible is. The Bible is a map on how to get back. I'll say it again. When you're lost, you need a map. When you're lost, God has developed a GPS called the Holy Bible. The Holy Bible is designed to lead you back on the right path. It's not designed to make you religious. It's designed to take you back where you originally come from. So, let me say this, that man is designed to live a scriptural life. That's what man is created for. He's supposed to live his life according to the map. I mean, if you're away from God and you're trying to get back, and God is so good and so merciful, so just, that he gives you a map to get back and tells you, okay, in order for you to get back, here is the map. And what the map will show you is how you are supposed to complete this turnaround. And so he says, I want you to understand that this is a map of my master plan. Most people who build don't show anybody the blueprints. They keep the blueprints to themselves. They don't want nobody to know how they built it. In case they want to build another one, they want to get money for it. You see, God didn't do that. God said, I'm going to show you the blueprint in the map on how to get back. But you must follow the blueprint. He's saying it this way. You must do it my way. Man, when he leaves God, does it his way. Because now, because of the fault, man becomes self-centered. And the attention is not on God, it's on me. And if it's on me, then I don't need a map. So we see our lives must be lived according to the scriptures. The insight of the scriptures enables me to understand that I'm being equipped for a journey. See, once you fall from the upright position, you jump off of the journey. This journey is amazing. It's an amazing journey because it's in a journey that's designed to go right back to God. Listen to what he says. He says, when I send my word out, it doesn't return. It tells you that it returns to him. It doesn't return to me void. That means the word is on a path. Glory to God. God sends it, and it goes down the path, follows the journey, and then it goes back to God. His word does it, and so does creation supposed to do it. God didn't send you here to be unproductive. He sent you here to be productive so that when you come back to him, he can see the works of his doing and that you did it according to the master's plan. Being that you are a divine design. That's why in the New Testament it says nothing shall be impossible for you. Divine design. Our lives supposed to be lived according to the scriptures. I'm being equipped for a journey. I'm showing you what God did. He preferenced living by the scriptures over necessary food. We talked about this a little this morning. God spoke something in my heart this morning. Deuteronomy 8 and 1. It talks about, in verse 1 to 3, it talks about man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. But not by every word, but every word that proceedeth. Living word. Progressive. Living. You see, now what he's saying is this. said this morning. This is good to me. I don't know how it might be good to you. I don't know. But see, God is showing us that you don't live by the provision. It's good to fall in God, in love with God's hand. But God loves it better when you fall in love with him. His hand speaks of the provision, what he gives you, how he clothes you, how he protects you, how he keeps you safe, how he puts food on the table. Bread speaks of all of that. That's provision. But as we said this morning, the giver would much rather that you fall in love with him than to fall in love with the gift. And so I'm in love with the provider of the provision. Deuteronomy is saying prioritize. See, this is in the map. You must understand that what he gives us is just GPS on how to get back. One of the things he said, if you're going to get back, you got to know how to prioritize living by the scriptures. Because if you live by the scriptures, you're going to make it. You're living by the blueprint. You living by the scriptures. You gotta live. We have to live by the scriptures. And so we find out that the keys to my life are found in the scriptures. The key to your life are found in the scriptures. Listen, we said that now. That you gotta have a mindset that the scriptures are the provider. Listen to Job in Job 22. And he does this in a way that reminds me of somebody else. Job 22 and 22. This is a map. I'm telling you now. It's GPS. He's showing you how to get back. Now listen to what he says. He says, please receive instruction from his mouth and establish his words in your heart. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from his mouth. Job says, well, the book of Job says, please receive instruction from his mouth and establish his words in your heart. Now listen to the map talking to you. There is a sense of urgency whenever you see that word please. It is the exact same emotional expression that Paul allows us to be a part of when Paul says in Romans chapter 12, I beseech ye, therefore, my brethren. Paul is saying, I beg you, I urge you, I plead with you. Please present your body a living sacrifice. Job's writings do the exact same thing. Please receive instruction from my mouth, from his mouth. I urge you. This is urgent. In order for you to get back, you're going to have instructions. This is for the whole world. You know why it's for the whole world? Because the scriptures are clear. The GPS is clear. The roadmap is clear. The GPS tells us in Romans 3, all have sinned and fall short of the glory. All have sinned. But don't just look at that as just being a negative for some people, because in the book of Genesis chapter 12, when God spoke the blessing over Abraham, he said this. He said that all the families of the earth shall be blessed. All. That's a big word. He's not excluding anybody. All. God has opened the window of blessing for everybody to receive from it. this bread of life from heaven. God has opened an opportunity for every man, woman, boy, and child, and girl on this planet to eat from it. To have this kind of life. See how good God is, greater and better than we thought. He knows the heart of man. He knows that there's wickedness in the earth, but he still spreads a blanket. He said, all the families, not all the individuals, all the families. That means he's not just talking to mothers and fathers, sisters and brothers. He's talking to your generation. And the generations to follow. He spoke a family blessing. I believe that's Genesis 12 and 11. But God spoke that. Now, when he opens the door for the all, he understands that Isaiah was right. And he wants us to go there and look in the map and say, in Isaiah 53, he said, all we like sheep have gone astray. None walk upright on their own. No. No, there's none righteous, not one. Not one. And he still spreads it out. Not one standing up. They're all on their knees, crawling like animals, depending on beggarly elements, depending on man for their provision, depending on their job for their provision, depending on things that are going to fade away. Boy, he paints a picture. He paints a picture because we're depending on things and we're not depending on our source. We're not depending on our divine designer. All we like sheep. That means I don't care where you live. You're in Russia, you're in China, you're in Timbuktu, you're in New York, LA, Detroit. I don't care where you're from. All we like sheep have gone astray. Everybody is away from God. Because of what? Adam. So there is no Chinese gospel. There's no black gospel. White gospel. Hispanic gospel. Once we come to the realization that we are all lost as a creation and as humanity, then we'll be able to come to the table together and understand that there is a master plan that God is trying to draw us back to, get us on track. As long, and the Bible says, all we have gone astray, you know what? We all seek our own way. We all seek our own way. See, there's two books in the Bible. There's Joshua and there's Judges. They show us an example of people who follow the pattern and people who get caught in the cycle. That's a dangerous thing. The people in the book of Joshua seem to be people who follow the pattern. And if you read Joshua, you'll find out that there's victory after victory. Victory after victory. But when you go to Judges, you'll find out they're having defeat after defeat after defeat. They can't never get it together. They stand up for a little while and get knocked right back down. They can't stand up on their own because the Bible tells us in the very last scripture in the book of Judges that every man did what was right in his own eyes. You can't stand up in your own eyes. You can't stand up apart from God. You can't stand up trying to do it yourself. You can't find your way back to glory trying to get there on your own. That's why people who think when I die, because I've done good, because I've been a good person, because I didn't steal from nobody, I didn't cuss nobody out, I'm going to heaven. I beg to differ. You are not going anywhere. You can't get there on your own. Good works won't get you there. You have to live according to the scripture. Got to live according to the scripture. Job 23 and 12, Job said, I have treasured thy words more than my necessary food. Boy, you love the word more than your necessary food. I'd rather live the scripture than to eat. This is a man who's caught the vision. This is a man with the GPS. This is a man with the map in his hand. He has studied the map. He reads the map. He gets life from the map. He gets encouragement from the map. He feels he can do all things with the map. If I'm going to get back, I'm going to have to follow his system. I'm going to get back, I'm going to have to follow his pattern. I'm going to have to follow his blueprint. If I'm going to be what he called me to be, I'm going to have to do it his way. There's so many organizations and so many different functions who call themselves Christians, but they're not doing it his way. If they were doing it his way, we wouldn't have such a thing as denominations. Good God, this is good to me. We wouldn't have that because everybody needs their own GPS to go back to the same location. Don't exclude me from your church because of my skin color. Don't tell me I can't come in, and then when I do, you look at me funny.
No.
There must be priority when you live by the scriptures. Job said, I have treasured thy words of his mouth more than my necessary food. I have prioritized. Remember that this is God's prescription for all of mankind's woes. This is his prescription for all mankind. The plan is designed for all human beings. It gives us the ability not only to stand up, but the strength and courage to take and make a stand. See, once you stand up, you got to stand up for what's right. See, that's what happens when you begin to stand up. See, when you stand up, you're able to view. I can see much more when I'm standing up. When I'm standing up, I can look over and peruse the area. I can see what's not right. I can see what's not going on that it should be. Things are not like they ought to be. I can't see it down there. That's why so many people down there are confused. They don't know wrong from right. They're not standing up to look over and see what right looks like.
We should be getting tired and weary of life as we know it, going in the wrong direction.
And because it is a journey, we will experience the occasional struggle, setback, speed bumps. But you know what? If we didn't have them, if we didn't have those distractions, we'll never know how tall we can stand. If you didn't have a setback, you'll never know how tall you can stand. If you didn't have to run over a bump, a speed bump every now and then, you wouldn't know how tall you could stand. See, because the whole object of the matter is this. Every time you have a setback or a roadblock or a distraction, you ought to come out taller than you were before you ran into it. You ought to come out better. I'm better now because of that. Good God Almighty. I'm better now because I lost my house. I'm better. See, I'm not into your emotional state. I'm into your spiritual well-being. How much better are you after you come through a rough time? How is your relationship with God now that you've been through something? Are you in love with God more now than you were before you fell down, before you bumped your head, before you made a mistake, before you listened to people? Are you better?
You got to be better. You got to be better. You got to be better.
See, this is what makes man such a unique and dynamic creation. Men and women are created by divine design. Not only are you created by divine design, God made you receptacles. See, we are receptacles. And we're created to live in the earth and yet carry heaven around on the inside. Isn't that something? He created you for earth. But he didn't limit you to earth. God is good. He didn't put you in an environment to limit you. He didn't put you in an environment to limit you. That's why when he created you, he took his hand in every creation, on every needlehead, every straight pin, he put heaven in every one of them. Everybody walking, living, breathing, God has placed something in you that comes from heaven. Guess what Ecclesiastes said? Said God has put eternity. Let's go there. He's put eternity on the inside of you. Mm-hmm. So you can walk this path. What path? The path of righteousness. Psalm 23:3 said he leads me in the path. See, not only is he counting on you to make the trip back to him, he'll lead you. He'll lead you back to him. Good God Almighty. Romans said it's the goodness of God that leads men to repent. On the way of leading you back, you just say, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. Lord, thank you for being so good to me. Thank you for supplying my need, Lord. I ain't nothing but a wretch, but you bless me anyway. And God leads you in paths of righteousness. He know you're on a journey. He even named the street that you're walking on. Path of righteousness. It's the path of the upright. Stand up, he's saying.
Yep. It's a path. You're on the path. Look at somebody telling, don't bump me. Don't bump me. I'm not getting off the path. I'm not getting off the journey. I'm not going to fall to the side. I'm going to keep on going. Yeah, I get knocked down every now and then. Yeah, I fall every now and then. Yeah, I cheat every now and then. But I'm not getting off the path because I'm going somewhere. I'm going somewhere.
I'm going somewhere. I'm going somewhere. I'm going somewhere. Hallelujah, I'm going somewhere. Mm-hmm. He leads me. See, you got to understand, you got to live by the scriptures. You got to live by the scriptures. You have a little setback, live by the scriptures. Don't go to a person, go to the scripture. You got your own map, read your own map. You got your own GPS, read your own GPS. You ain't got to go across the street. You ain't got to kiss nobody's hand. You ain't got to confess behind no wall. Read your own GPS.
God Almighty. Read your own GPS.
Mm-hmm. And see, not only would he lead you. Listen now, the GPS tells us this. It said he'll lead me. But in Proverbs 3:6, it says, this is what you got to do according to the map. Acknowledge him. If he leading you, acknowledge him. Let people know where you're going. I'm following the divine design, the master's plan. He says if you acknowledge him in all your ways, he said he will direct your path. You can't get lost. Not only is he leading, he's guiding. That means that there may be something in the road. If he's leading you, he gonna see it first. But if he miss anything, and I don't think he will, he said that he gonna direct you just in case you miss a place where he been
and you about to step in something, he said, I'll move you over. I'll direct your path. He did it with Job. Job was the richest man in the East. And the Bible said Job eschewed evil. That means that Job, in traveling to the path, when he saw evil, he got out the way. But he didn't get off the path. Oh, my God. I'm going somewhere. Going somewhere. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We said in the book of Judges that every man did what was right in his own sight. That's where we are as a nation right now. Mm-hmm. See? The whole time we're traveling back, you hear the echo of God. He's speaking to us on our way back. Come unto me and live. Come unto me and live. Come unto me and live. See that voice in itself, that's part of the GPS. Because you know what? Even though we're following the GPS, every now and then we'll hear a voice. Come unto me and live. And then when you get to hesitating on the journey, you'll hear another voice say, harden not your heart. Harden not your heart. Don't let people stop you from making this journey. Because people is what harden people's hearts. People harden people's hearts. We got something against somebody, our heart get hard. They didn't speak to me this morning. They didn't say, I'm sorry. They didn't forgive me. Oh, you so concerned about yourself, you need to get up off your all fours right now. You need to go and get on the path and hear a voice that says, God said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord. Harden out your heart. Huh? See, we get opportunities every day to get off the path. The enemy makes sure that you have an opportunity to get off the path so that you won't make that return journey. You see? Yeah. Mm-mm-mm. That's where we are as a nation right now. We speak peace, but there is no peace. We shout victory when the battle isn't even over. We speak of no bullying in our school system, yet we live in a system that bullies everybody. We are the most hypocritical nation on the face of the planet. We say, somebody said that you're talking out the side of your mouth. We say one thing, but we don't mean it. Or we say it to this people, but we say it to another people something differently. What do you call bullying if the system is not bullying us? The teachers who have their hands tied in these same schools, in these same programs, have their hands tied. They can't teach the way they want to. They have to teach according to a format which, for most parts now, is being infiltrated by the enemy. Satan is in our school system trying to implement wrong living. We're already going in the wrong direction. Now they're trying to confuse our young people that they don't even know what a boy or a girl is. Y'all better hear me now. They are teaching children in California right now, starting at age 5, that there is no longer anything called boy and girl. We're not going in the wrong direction. Everybody's doing what they see, and it seems to be right in their own eyes. You living wrong, you can get a big headline in the paper. Live right, and they don't even mention you. I want to say that apart from God, there is no freedom. Apart from God, there is no absolutes. Apart from God, there is no peace. Apart from God, there is no victory. Apart from God, there is no stand-up. There is no righteousness. Apart from God, nothing. The whole world needs to understand that so that we can get on one page. Whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a blanket statement. He didn't just limit it to people behind four walls. He said, whosoever. You want to get back on the right path? Call on the name of the Lord. That means a sinner steeped in sin up to his neck and stench can call on the name of the Lord and he will grab him, pick him up, and put him right back on the right path. He'll put him on the right path. Everybody in here can honestly say, I was going in the wrong direction. I was going the wrong way. I was doing what I wanted to do. I didn't do anything the Lord was commanding me to do. I was living my life the way I wanted to. But look at God. Pick you up, turn you around, and put you on the right path. Turn me around and put me in the right direction. And he has taken heaven from heaven and put it on the inside of each of us. So that when he calls, there is a chance that you can hear him. Because deep calls unto deep. And it responds. If God didn't have anything in you that relates to him, he couldn't call you. Trying to get us to come right back. We'll go all over town. We'll do all this stuff. Do everything we can. And God is slowly leading and guiding us right back to him. All he's looking for is a people that's going to stand up. You got to stand up for what you believe. Don't hide. Don't hide it under a bushel. You're a city that sits on a hill. You got truth. All you have to do is follow the GPS. Let him lead you. Let him guide you. Jude said this. He's able to keep you from falling and present you faultless. You mean to tell me that I'm on this journey, I'm full of error, full of mistakes, full of wretchedness. By the time I get to my destination, I will be faultless. Faultless. You know how you hear people say it all the time? Not my fault. Well, you don't have to say a word because Jesus is going to say it. Not their fault. Not their fault. They're faultless. Fault. What is a fault? A fault is a crack on the ground in the waters. A matter of fact, you find them in California. They call them faults. They are cracks. And if they expand, they cause earthquakes. In California, it's called the San Andreas Fault. That means if you're faultless, you're a designed model without cracks. There's no room for anything else to take grip on you, take hold on you. No more eruptions, no more short temper, no more misdemeanors, no more bad habits. You don't have cracks for that. No fault. He's able to present you faultless. All them bad things you oftentimes think about yourself. Can that stuff. That's not you. He's presenting you faultless. Don't let the devil try to fool you and tell you that you're not doing this because of this or because of that. Nope, nope, nope. Present me faultless. I'm following the GPS. I'm following the map. Let's try to do it by the GPS. Let's try to do it by the scriptures. There's a lot that we got to cover. Let's bow our heads. Father, we are on a wonderful journey. Lord, we are beginning to see clearer your plan for man.
your heart for man. You love your creation. In fact, Lord, when you created everything that we are able to see, feel, touch, hear, smell, you said it's good. Lord, and if you were so satisfied with it, then I know it must be something that pleases you. Lord, we want to live lives that please you. Lord, we are on a journey. We're on a path. And we're journeying back to you. It's a high place. High heaven. Who can walk up there? The upright. Because we're no longer crawling on the ground, you have put us in a position where we can stand before you with clean hands and pure hearts. Lord, we just come to you today acknowledging you, Lord. You are source. You are creator. You develop, design, and program us with a divine plan in mind. I am who you say I am. And Father, I just want to stand before you as we stand before you as a family. We want to say how much we appreciate, Lord, the skill and the time that you put into creating us to make us who we are. We fall short in so many areas, but Lord, you're still standing there with your arms open wide, knowing that we make mistakes. But Lord, even though we make mistakes, don't let us fall from your path. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for our brothers and sisters, Lord God, who are not even in the fold yet. We pray for those, Lord, who are falling off the way. But Father, by your righteous right hand, you're able to pick them up. You're able to bring them out. You're able to put them on solid ground. You told your servant David, Lord, that when you pull him out of the muck and mire, that you put him on a solid rock. You put him on a place where he could stand up. You have put within all of us the ability to stand. We surrender to your ways. We surrender to your will, to your map, to your design. Draw us closer to you. You said if we draw nigh to you, you'll draw nigh to us. If you see us trying to get back on track, you'll draw nigh to us. We're trying to stand. Draw us closer to you. For our strength comes from you. Lord, we thank you today. Thank you, Lord, that this word will reach the hearts of many. Will open some eyes that you would make it plain. That it's not as difficult as man has painted the picture to come back to you. You said we need not but turn around. Repent. And come to you. So, Father, we thank you for this day. That you've even penetrated our spirits today. You've warmed our hearts. You have spoken into our understanding. Cause us to be yours and walk in your ways. Thank you for being such a good God. Loving us like you do. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.